rhetoric entitled "He Paid a Debt I Could Not Pay." And that is really, in a nutshell, the gospel. We had a debt, insurmountable debt of sin. But Jesus Christ paid the debt that we could not pay. He didn't owe us. He didn't owe us anything. He freely laid his life down for us. And so on this 1st of September, let us contemplate on the great things God has done for us. He paid a debt we could not pay for his people. An insurmountable debt. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. I last night listened to an interview from a woman who escaped from North Korea, and was sold into sexual slavery in South Korea, in China, and finally made it to South Korea, and finally made it to the United States. When she was 13 years old, she escaped across the border from North Korea into China. And she has a horrific story about how she was sold into sexual slavery and how eventually she made it out into the United States. How every aspect of the North Korean's life was controlled by this Kim Jong-un. How he was worshipped as God. How no one dared say anything against him or his regime, or they would be taken in front of everyone and shot in front of a firing squad. He had absolutely no regard for human life except his own and his own kingdom. Quite a story. Quite a story. Sometimes we don't realize how blessed we are to have the freedoms we yet have. But for the Christian, we have been blessed beyond measure. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has ransomed us from hell. He paid the price on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary for our sins. Undeserving as we were, but he freely laid his life down in our stead. He paid a debt we could never pay. Well, we see that he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Matthew 11:29, Isaiah 53:7, 1 Peter 2:21-23. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody, or in any other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. 1 Peter 4:14 through 16. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Well, there's much instruction in those verses for us. The meek shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 29:19. The fruit of the Spirit is meekness. Galatians 5:22. Well, we have this pandemic going on right now, and there's a lot of animosity that's being created, a lot of hostility between the peoples down here on the earth. But for those of us who are in Christ, we have another story. I love to tell the story. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story of Jesus. Greatest as ever was heard. The story how Jesus came from the ivory palaces of glory, and how he suffered and died for his people, and how he rose again from the dead, how he ascended back to heaven, how he's seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, how he's coming again in all power and glory. Looking back in history, we see events unfold. But the greatest story in history is the greatest story ever told. It is not just a novel, no, this story is true, how God sent his Son to die to redeem his chosen few. Praise and thanksgiving we give to the Son, who in the courts of heaven with the three in one made provision for this sinner. Through his blood the work is done. The plan was determined between the Trinity and this great story in history would be a certainty. God would redeem his people, a ransom he would pay. Christ would be slain on Calvary in history on that day. You see, Scripture tells us that he was slain in eternity before the world began. It was predetermined. Yes, it was his master plan. Praise and thanksgiving we give to the Son, who in the courts of heaven with the three in one made provision for this sinner. Through his blood the work is done. Well, I'm glad to know that Jesus Christ has paid the price. He's paid the debt I could not pay. Whatever we go through, let us never forget God's love and what he did for his people by dying on the cross unconditionally. I'm sometimes overwhelmed in my heart and in my mind and in my soul why this precious Savior would even care to give himself on Calvary for my life to spare. He could have gone about doing other things like watching the angels or listening to them sing, But to come to this sin-cursed earth and to die for me is the greatest expression of love that I will ever see. How can I thank you, Lord, for being oh so kind to realize that before creation you had this worm in mind? To come and shed your blood and endure such scorn and pain should cause me to give you praise. Excuse me, in an eternal refrain. Help me demonstrate in some real way the goodness, grace, and love to others is my prayer today. So many times I forget what an awesome thing you did for me when you died and rose again to set my soul at liberty. You can never contemplate on the love of God too much, on the great price he paid for us. That is our only hope. That is our only rock, our only foundation, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. You know, we're living in some strange times where the powers that be are trying to control every aspect of our lives through this mask, through social distancing, through vaccinations, through contact tracing. They want to control every aspect of our life, just like in China. But we have liberty in Christ. Christ has given us liberty. Even in the midst of all this, we can see the wonderful thing that Jesus Christ has done in taking away our sins. The people are raging. People are imagining a vain thing. Jesus Christ came and saved his people from their sins. And now we have liberty that can only be given to us in Christ. Not through the Bill of Rights, not through the Constitution, not through the Declaration of Independence. What an awesome, wonderful, magnificent grace God has bestowed upon us, who were dead in our trespasses and sin, to choose us before the creation of the world, before our life would even begin, to be adopted into his family from the beginning until the very end. How can our tongues describe this marvelous thing he did for you and me, to send his son to die and redeem us for eternity? By shedding his precious blood on the cruel and rugged tree and paid the greatest ransom possible to set our souls free. Amazing grace, amazing love, so merciful to you and me who deserve to die an eternal death and experience awful suffering in hell. God gave his only son, and now we sing thanks to Calvary, with our souls all things are well. A million years from now we will still be praising him for delivering us from death and the bondage of sin. All glory to the Lamb who bled and died for you and me. Our praises will ring out for all eternity. Well, the King is coming, folks. The King has not forgotten his people for whom he died for. We have heard the King is coming all our lives. And this amid all this turmoil and this strife. We anticipate him coming at any time and hear him saying, "Well done, my child," and then we'll know everything is fine. But until that day comes, we will wait for his return. And always share the gospel, and our candle always burn. Because of his Spirit always dwelling in our lives, we'll occupy until he comes splitting the eastern skies. Let us never forget that grace is the fountain from which springs faith. It is our foundation from which our lips sing his praise. It is our anchor amid the storm. It is our comfort when we are forlorn. Grace is our sustainer when we are hard-pressed with the burdens coming over us and bringing us distress. Grace is God's answer to us, showing us his love and his smile. And grace will finally bring us to eternity after a while. Have you ever thought about what the blood of Christ actually accomplished? What did the blood of Christ accomplish for us? Did it merely make it possible that we could be saved? No, it secured our salvation forever, you see. That we would live with Jesus for eternity. The blood of Jesus could never fail what it was purposed to do. This brings comfort to my soul, and I hope comfort to you. He did not hang in agony upon the cruel tree just to make our salvation only a possibility. On the cross he said, "It is finished." It's truly wonderful what the Lord hath done by giving his chosen people his dear Son. The perfect sacrifice to atone for their sins. That knew no beginning and never will end. This eternal vital union gives comfort to the soul to know that our destiny our Savior controls. Given to him before the foundation of the world, this eternal adoption has just begun to unfurl. Lord, let your marvelous grace speak to my soul when the waves of trouble over me roll. May I always cry out, "Abba, Father," to you, knowing that forever I will be with you. Well, I want to conclude this morning, the time that we've had together. This is entitled "The Faith of Christ." God's people have been given the faith of Christ. There's no greater gift we could have been given to know that he's died for us and secured for us a place in heaven. That his death gave us the imputed righteousness of Christ, this was his ultimate sacrifice. God the Father looked upon it and says, "It is finished." It never has to be replenished. May the good Lord go with you this September 1st, Tuesday, in a special way is my prayer. God bless.